Hello and welcome to this week's Boat Briefing. My name is Charlotte Hogarth-Jones and this week I caught up with Tobias Reichmuth, owner of the 45-metre yacht Promethee. Now, Tobias is an owner with a difference, and on March 1st he'll set off on a very special cruise. He'll be calling in at countries around the world, including Greece, Costa Rica and Japan, aiming to travel the world and visiting specific areas where inhabitants are known to live to a particularly long age. Those on board won't be charter guests, but people he's invited specifically because they share his curiosity around longevity and health. They'll dine on personalised recipes tailored to results of their own DNA, blood and microbiome tests, and they'll work with him to try and find the secret to living as long and as well as you possibly can. If that's piqued your curiosity, then do keep listening. He's going to explain all about it. Tobias, hi. Great to meet you.
Hello, Charlotte. My pleasure.
Well, I can see you've got some people in ski suits behind you. You don't look like you're on a yacht. Where are you at the moment?
No, I'm not on a yacht. I'm in the Swiss Alps in Andermatt currently at the JD Hotel.
Amazing. Well, I know that hotel very well. It's absolutely beautiful. How much longer have you got there before you're back to reality?
Yeah, funny-wise, it's an event off Davos. You know, this week we have the World Economic Forum. Mm-hmm. And it's a funny side event organized by some venture capital guys. And they said, let's take people away from the buzz of Davos. So it's a two-day gathering with skiing and some talks about future of investments and so on.
Amazing. So I'm glad you're enjoying some time on the slopes, and I hope the snow is good for you as well.
Yeah, it looks pretty promising. Yeah.
Amazing. Well, I'm so excited to talk to you. Firstly, I did my research the other day, and it sounds fascinating what you're doing with the yacht. So I thought, for this reason, normally I would start these interviews asking about people's childhoods and how they got into yachting and their experience with the ocean and that sort of thing. But I think if it's okay with you, I'll come to that later and actually start with a bit of a different angle, which is just that when I started Googling your name and the yacht and everything, all the things that were coming up again and again was this this angle of health and longevity, and the fact that, you know, you've been involved in businesses in this area, and people coming on board your yacht are going to be involved in this, and I just wondered kind of why is that something you're preoccupied with? Is it something that you've always been interested in?
Not always been interested in. I mean, I stumbled over longevity in 2016. I was at the Singularity University in Palo Alto, mm-hmm. and there this concept of we can fight aging came to me. And not only with, like, you can fight aging with some beauty creams or Botox or anything, but really, like, we understand now the causes of aging, the so-called mm-hmm. hallmarks of aging. And since we understand them, we can change it. So we, on a cellular level, we can rejuvenate and slow down aging. And this was for me like, wow, you know, that's news. Because before it was always like, okay, we all have to age and eventually we die. And suddenly some scientists tell you, well, maybe not. Maybe we see aging as a sickness, and sicknesses we try to treat. So let's treat this one. Yeah? And the more I looked into it, the more I understood that aging causes most other sicknesses. So age-related diseases are Alzheimer, Parkinson, cancer, diabetes type 2. So everything that eventually makes our life miserable when we are around 70 plus, is connected with aging. And now we are able to fight aging, meaning that we also will not have any of those sicknesses necessarily making our life miserable. And this was for me the point when I said, wow, that is cool. Like, let's understand more. And I was very busy with two other companies of mine at that time. But in 2020, I sold one. In 21, I sold the other one. And then I had time and I said, okay, let's really go all in. I spoke with many scientists at that time. And what I realized is these scientists, they often have great results of the research, but they don't know how to build companies. Yeah. And I'm an entrepreneur and an investor as well. And so I said, let's team up. We help scientists building companies. And that's what we do now with Maximon. That's the incubator I have built for the last 4 years. And it's having a very nice side effect because my health got better as well. The health of my family gets better. Yeah. So I call it like investing with a double dividend.
Yeah. Well, that makes sense hearing it, because when I originally heard it, I thought, God, you know, I read something about you hoping you'll live till you're 120. And I was thinking, who would want that? You know, that doesn't make much sense to me. But actually, the idea of kind of making those end years of your life enjoyable and being able to live them and not being plagued by these things that people so often suffer with makes a lot of sense.
You got it, Charlotte. It's all about the quality of life. I mean, getting old just to be old and counting years, it's no fun at all. And so what we say is longevity is the extension of health span rather than lifespan. And if you get more healthy years, that means you will also add some years in general. But I had once a scientist at a conference we organized, and he said, the goal is to die as young, as late as possible. And that's about it.
And so people listening, and I definitely want to know, what are you doing currently? What are you doing since you've embarked on, since 2016? Is it vitamins? Is it exercise? Or is it something much more complex than that?
Yeah, you know, I mean, the low-hanging fruits, of course, is sleep enough, eat healthy, do enough sport, and so on. Everybody can do that and it's easy. But already when we talk about eat healthy, eating healthy for you will mean something different than for me.
Yeah.
And also this is news to most people, you know. It's like, oh, I eat vegetables, super, I don't drink too much, it's also good. But it might be that you need a keto diet and I need a vegan diet.
Yeah.
It might be that certain supplements are great for you and they're counterproductive for me. And so I think the very big step I made in my personal prevention strategy, that's how I call it, was to do a DNA test, microbiome, that's our gut health, and blood values. I did that with a clinic we have invested in called Ayun. And the outcome was really like, oh, wow, this is now my tailor-made strategy, what Tobias should do in order to stay young and healthy. And that has a lot to do with the diet. So I realized that I should reduce gluten. Even though I don't have a gluten intolerance, all my blood values showed that I probably have too much. Yeah, it also showed me that certain supplements I take, I should not take. It showed me that I have to take much more vitamin B than an average person because genetically I have a challenge of taking or of absorbing enough vitamin B. So this was very concrete and it definitely improved my health very fast. I mean, after 3 months, I had a different energy level, you could say.
That's amazing. So I know that lots of owners listening to this, you know, we've written about a clinic in Switzerland, so I wonder if it's the same one in the past. But I know that lots of our owners are interested in this and maybe will have embarked on their own journeys similar to yours. But I don't know any of them that have a yacht that claims to have this kind of at the center or at least as part of their identity. So can we talk a bit? I asked you about the pronunciation earlier, Prometé.
Prometé.
So yeah. Prometé, which sets off in March, has kind of health and longevity and these sort of personalized plans at its core for whoever you recruit to come on board. Can you explain a bit more about how that's going to work and then how that's, you know, what's the aim? How long are people going to stay with you? Are you going to be testing them before and after they've been on board the yacht to kind of track how their health has changed?
Yeah, I mean, you already said it. It's a good executive summary. So look, what we do with Prometé is we plan a 18-month circumvention of the globe. We call it the Blue Cruise. Mm-hmm. And the idea of Blue Cruise is to find longevity or find the secrets of healthy aging. Yeah? And you might have heard about the concept of the Blue Zones. That's the places where allegedly people get very old in good health. That is from Greece, Icaria to Sardinia, to Loma Linda in California, Costa Rica, Okinawa in Japan. So we visit all of these places.
Right.
But, and that's a big but now, there is also a lot of discussions whether this is really true.
Yeah.
So are the statistics right or do some people cheat? We have heard stories of people saying, you know, their grandfather has not died in order that they can still get the pension money. And we said, let's find out about that and go to these places and look anywhere else around the globe for what are the best practices of enjoying a healthy age and getting to a healthy age. Yeah? And while doing that, we said, well, Prometé as our home for the next 18 months, must be a longevity place too. And that means that we have recruited a chef who cooks healthy food based on the advice of a nutritionist we work together with. And that's not only true for me and Alexandra, but that's also true for everybody else. So if you would come on board, let's say you tell us, hey, 1st of July, I have 2 weeks time. Can I join you? And we would say, yeah, fantastic. But first, can you please do a microbiome and blood test? And if possible, as I mentioned before, also a genetical test. And those results will be sent to our nutritionist, Larissa. And Larissa will then explain to our chef what kind of, well, type of person you are. Mm-hmm. And what kind of diet you need. Yeah. And we will also know already whether you have certain challenges, you know, might be underweight or overweight, might be sporty or not, might be having certain things you cannot eat or something like that. And so when you come on board, we are ready and we will have a tailor-made meal for you. I mean, that doesn't mean that our chef will not cook 12 totally different meals, but he will adjust. So it might be that you get a double portion of broccoli while I get a double portion of chicken because I need more protein. So nutrition is very important. Second thing is also we have installed red light therapy. We are currently looking for a hyperbaric chamber to have on board. That means you take in oxygen under double the pressure, like when you go diving in a way. So we have a gym, everything to stay healthy. We work together again with fitness instructor. Alexandra is already a fitness instructor, so she can help on that. So our lifestyle on board will be a healthy one.
And the journey through the blue zone sounds fascinating. When you said you're kind of looking at what different cultures do, are you going to be having expedition leaders kind of speaking to local populations, or are you having scientists or kind of historians, or who's kind of informing this journey?
Absolutely. So number one, we work together with scientists and we invite them on board. And I should mention that Blue Cruise is totally private. So we are not chartering and nobody can buy a ticket.
Okay.
We invite people we like. We like cool people, relevant people, friends. Yeah. And so, for example, Aubrey de Grey, I would say he's the foremost researcher, scientist in the field of longevity. I know him quite well, already announced that he will come with his wife on board. Wow. And his wife has a scientific project of interviewing all the centenarians, people who are 100 plus. Yeah. And of course, for everybody else, including ourselves, this is super interesting because we can learn from scientists on board. Yeah. I invite many others. Just yesterday, I invited Deepak Chopra. You know him maybe. Yeah. So we met in Davos and he is like a spiritual leader, I would say. Yeah. Not a guru, but really like a deep thinker. And what better can you have on board than a community with people like that? And so we will have entrepreneurs, investors, scientists, all united by one ship.
Well, that sounds fascinating. And if someone writes to you out of the blue and says, I'm really interested in this, I'm a yacht owner and I want to get on board, or I'm researching this, will you take on, you know, anyone who seems interesting, or is it really going to be people that you've already been working with and want to kind of further your journey?
No, look, we have a website, bluecruise.world, and there people can apply. And I really mean apply in terms of like, explain us what is your motivation? Why do you want to join? Yeah. And if we think this person is interesting, then we invite them for a call. I mean, I want to know who is coming. This is our project of a lifetime, you can say. And I want good people on board, interesting people on board. But we are open for anybody. And we have now, by now, we have more than 70 people applying already. Some of them, I must say, wow, fantastic. Yeah. Mm. And those are not people who say, oh, I always wanted to be on a super yacht. But those are more people who say, wow, this is a project close to my heart. And if I can contribute to that and also share, that's exactly what we want. I see it a bit as a, how shall I say, an expedition which is mixed with co-working. So, you know, and you ask for what do we do when we go to countries? I mean, yes, we want to learn as much as we can from the locals. But no, we don't take expedition leaders. We are the expedition leaders ourselves.
Mm.
And I think that also is a bit different from maybe just chartering a boat when you are a guest and the crew takes care of everything.
Mm.
I mean, we want to take care of stuff. Yeah,
yeah, quite hands-on.
We are far too energetic just to wait and see what others offer us. We do it ourselves.
Yeah.
And also, I mean, we work with Ocean Independence together when it comes to managing everything. But we also have a clear agreement that I, as the owner, has the last say.
Mm.
So I want to define with the captain what we do. And I don't need others to tell us. So I think, you know, this is probably a distinction from joining a yacht and, you know, you do a bit of Mediterranean and it's beautiful.
Mm.
We see this clearly as a project where we want to be in the lead.
I mean, so fascinating. I'm so excited to hear what you discover on this trip. But are you going to be on board the whole time yourself? You mentioned your partner as well.
Yeah, I would say probably 90%.
Yeah.
I mean, there is certain things business-wise or a wedding we have to go when we fly back. But the idea is really to live on the boat.
Yeah. And you've done adventures like this before, haven't you, on your own or only on land?
Well, not on a boat. I mean, I did a trip around the world by car once. So from 2006 to 2008, I drove around the world with an old Toyota Land Cruiser.
Amazing.
And I mean, the car was shipped with a container from continent to continent.
Yeah.
But it was a land trip.
Yeah. And how do you feel about then? Because that's quite a long time. If you're aiming to be on board most of the time and you're going for 18 months, that's quite a significant stint at sea for someone who's not done it before. Do you have any reservations about it or anything that you're not sure quite how you're going to feel about it? And because lots of owners, when it was COVID, lots of owners said, oh, perfect. I get to spend all this time on board my boat. And some of them didn't like spending that much time on their boat and they kind of it went full circle. So how are you feeling about it?
Well, I mean, you know, as you say, we haven't done it. I mean, I bought Promethe last June. And then, I mean, we did quite extensive traveling in the Mediterranean. So we like the boat. We were able to, you know, bring the right crew together. It's a great place. But, you know, we never spent more than 2 weeks in one go. And now we say, hey, let's cross the Atlantic. Let's do the Northwestern Passage when you're in the nowhere for quite a while. I think it will be great. My only fear is seasickness when we have high waves. The highest waves we had so far was 3 meters. That was not a problem.
Mm-hmm.
But if we do the Drake's Passage, it might be 8 meters or more.
Yeah, Drake's Passage. I know plenty of people that have come out of that feeling somewhat queasy.
So I mean, it should be a challenge. Otherwise, it wouldn't be adventure.
Yeah, that's true. And let's talk a bit about the yacht because she's a really fascinating boat. You know, I guess it makes sense. You've got a really unique boat when you're doing a really unique journey. But how did you, firstly, you know, when did you decide that this was something you were going to do? And then how did the journey to Promethe happen?
Yeah, it is interesting. I mean, I was for the first time of my life on board of a super yacht in 2021, I think.
Okay. It's all so fresh.
give or take, yeah?
Yeah.
And I found it quite cool. I said, wow, this is a nice lifestyle.
So this was a charter yacht or you were on as
a
guest?
No. This was a private yacht owned by a friend in Sardinia. It was a really cool time. And this was giving me this kind of like, I want that.
Yeah.
And this yacht was a fast one. You know, you could really go fast, but not very long. And then I learned a bit more about yachts and said, okay, what I need is an explorer yacht because I want to travel far.
Yeah.
And I started researching it and I was sitting together then with Ocean Independence at that time. Peter, the CEO, was a kind of a godfather for me explaining what a yacht should be able to do and so on. And we looked at several and really different ships. But what I said is that it must be able to at least do 5,000 nautical miles, should have some space. But I did not have a very concrete idea. And we saw Promethe coming to market in June. And Peter sent me an email and said, hey, this one might be something. And I looked at it and said, well, this is cool. This is like an adventure boat.
Yeah.
Promethe was built in 1956 as an icebreaker, I should mention. Mm-hmm. And so we drove to Italy in Luano, the ship was. And I came on board and said, wow, I couldn't have done it much better because the ship was fully refurbished. I mean, the inside is fancy.
Because that's what I was going to ask. Kind of, there's not a huge amount when you're kind of searching it online, not a huge amount of information. So what has been done recently? Because I know it had a number of works in very recent years. So what's it like inside and what's been done to make it that way?
So the ship was, as far as I know, until 2001 or 2002, stationed in Murmansk and as an icebreaker for the Russian Marine. Yeah. So it was 50 years in service, and I think it was in a pretty bad shape by then.
Yeah.
And then it was bought by an Italian fashion designer, Alberta Ferretti. Mm-hmm. And kudos to her. She built a luxury yacht out of that. Yeah. So from 2002 or 3 till end of 2005, the ship was in a wharf in Italy and completely redone everything. So new engines, also the superstructure was newly built. So basically, you know, the ice breaking capacity was kept and everything else is new. And then Mrs. Ferretti was using the ship, I think, until 2017. I don't know why, but after that, she left it in the water. And it was then bought by an Italian gentleman in 2000, probably 21 or so. He used it for 2 years. He did some refurbishments. He built, for example, the whole deck is done newly, upgraded some of the communication, and then he sold it again. I met him. It's a nice old gentleman, and his hobby is to buy yachts, sell them again, basically. Yeah. And so for me, it was cool because it was turnkey, definitely for the Mediterranean. Mm-hmm. So really, we took over the boat, I think, last day of June, and the next day, I had 10 friends on board, and we went to Saint-Tropez. So it's really like take over with the full crew, everything. And then we said, okay, now let's upgrade it so that it's really having ice-breaking capacities as well. Mm. And for this, we went to a wharf in Croatia. And in the last 4 months now, a lot of work was done. We also exchanged generators, upgraded that. Seaworthiness is probably much better now.
Yeah.
So we had Rena as glass on board, mm-hmm. making sure that we really can cross ice and all of that, you know.
Yeah.
So I think by now we are ready.
Amazing. And when you stepped on board and you thought, oh yeah, I really like this, was the buying process pretty smooth from that that point onwards, or was there a bit of negotiation or some hurdles to kind of overcome?
It's the first boat I ever bought, but I would assume that there is always some hurdles to overcome.
Oh, absolutely, absolutely.
So there I was glad to have Ocean Independence at my side there, because I have no clue of ships.
Mm.
So they basically were guiding through the process, helping in the negotiations, contractual setup, everything. We did a detailed due diligence. I think I know what I bought. I also knew the shortcomings of the yacht. There were some. Mm-hmm. So now that we are in the dry dock, I was not really shocked by the amount of works which had to be done. I saw that coming.
Yeah.
And I could price this in a bit. So we negotiated for a little bit. To be honest, the price was fair. We bought the 45-meter yacht at a good price. If you would have to build this ship new as an icebreaker, I would say it's 4 times the amount.
I was going to say, is that why you didn't go new then? Because there are some cool kind of brand new explorers hitting the market at the moment. But is cost the kind of...
Yeah, I mean, looking at that too. I mean, I had some good discussions with Bering Yachts.
Yeah,
They do cool explorers.
Mm-hmm.
It takes time.
Yeah,
you know, I mean, we wouldn't leave this year. We would leave in 2 years from now.
Yeah.
And then I also spoke with friends who just bought new super yachts. A good friend of mine, he bought, for example, a huge catamaran, mm-hmm. fancy ship. You know, he's on a world trip with his family now. I mean, that's a house on the sea. It's really big. And he made it tailor-made, everything like he wanted. But there are so many problems when you get a new ship.
Yeah.
I mean, he is more in the shipyard in the first 6 months than on sea.
Yeah.
And so with Promethe, we know this ship is able to go far. It has done it in the past. Yes, there were some technical issues, but it was mostly upgrades.
Mm.
But in general, that ship functions. And I think from that hand, a second-hand super yacht is maybe a safer bet.
Yeah, I mean, I did a piece recently, kind of in the same vein as Promethe, about conversion super yachts, you know, boats that were formerly military vessels or scientific research vessels and things that have been converted. And when I spoke to the owners, a lot of them were kind of adventurous, exploratory owners going to places like the Northwest Passage. And their argument was always, look, if I want a boat that I know is capable of crossing these areas, why don't I buy one that I know has done that? Because it's just the easiest test of, you know, I'm sure this is going to work and we're not going to have any problems if it's done those passages before and everything's been fine. But one of my questions I had, actually, I know in your background, you've done a lot as well to do with sustainability and environmental concerns and things. So is that going to be a factor in terms of how you operate the yacht and what you do on board? And is it something you've been very conscious of?
Yeah, I mean, at the beginning, I thought a sail yacht is much
better.
Yeah,
yeah, yeah.
But then I spoke with sailboat owners. And what I learned is, well, 80% of the time they use the motors.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah.
Because the wind is just not blowing from where it should.
Yeah.
And then whenever you have wind, your ship is like that.
Huh? Yeah.
You have much less space. And icebreaking capacities, which I wanted. Yes, you can get that, but it's not so common.
Yeah.
So with all that information, so probably a motor yacht is better. And if I would have done a new build, then I would have done a hybrid. You know, with battery. And I mean, there is some very cool concepts out there. So yes, you could build a more sustainable boat. Promethe is, I would say, relatively efficient. We consume 130 liters diesel an hour at 11 knots, which is not bad for the ship of her size. I mean, she's 45 meters, 469 tons. But what we do is we offset all the emissions. So we did a calculation of how many tons of diesel we need, and we offset this 100%. So it's at the end of the day, it's the footprint of the cruise should be zero.
And in terms of your itinerary, where are you most looking forward to going? Like, you know, like you said, you're in control, you're running this ship. So where is it that you're really, I think that's going to be a highlight?
Yeah, the Northwestern Passage is definitely a highlight.
You
know, not so many people have done it. I saw movies about it. It's beautiful. It's rough. Mm-hmm. So that is, I would say, that's a great part of the adventure.
Yeah.
But then all these little islands, you know, French Polynesian islands and so on, this is going to be exciting too. I would say, you know, everything, I mean, the whole trip is super exciting.
Yeah.
But that's highlights I would expect. But, you know, maybe some other places we don't know about much now are even more exciting.
And is there a sense that, you know, when I was researching you, I went into a bit of a rabbit hole about, you know, how can you live longer and what are the things? And one of the things that people said was, you know, adventure and change of scene. Like, is there a sense that even just having these adventures, going to these amazing places kind of enhances your quality of life, gives you a rejuvenated outlook on the world? Or is that kind of, you don't really believe in that and really it's about the science and the tests?
Well, I believe in numbers and I believe in measurements.
Mm-hmm.
So for example, what we do is before we go on board, we do an update of our biological age test. So you have a chronological age. My chronological age is 46. Mm-hmm. My biological age, last time I tested this was 38. So I will test again now and then when we come back and see. I mean, my hope would be that it at least stayed more or less steady.
Yeah.
Or did not go up as fast as the chronological age does. Yeah.
God, I'm so interested in this. And I guess you can then take an average as well from everyone that's been on your yacht, you know, in general, what the trend has been.
You bring me to something. Maybe we should do a scientific research paper. Does yacht life slow down aging?
Yeah, well,
could be cool,
I mean, it's long been said that, you know, the benefits of life at sea. I know so many people that Yeah, I would love to see the research on it, because I know so many people that say their kind of health issues improve on the ocean, be it mental health or physical health. But I think lots of people say that it has a kind of calming and you know, whatever their ailments, it does something for them. And I find it quite interesting, lots of people when they're older, I did some research once for a piece about people modifying their boats so that as they were in those later stages of life, they could be on board because they found it was, you know, a place they wanted to be in, a place that was helpful. But to have the actual, you know, presumably you'll be able to take the data of everyone that's been on board and see how their biological age has changed, or if it has changed, and during the period of the trip.
Yeah, I mean, that's I think it's a good goal.
Yeah.
And when I look at last summer, I mean, we had many of friends on board, so really a lot. And many of those close people told me, hey, this was the highlight of my year.
Yeah, yeah.
And I thought, wow, this is cool. You know, if Promethee is able to bring such a vibe to life, mm-hmm. that people who have seen many places and go everywhere say, hey, my 5 days on Promethee this summer, that was the highlight.
Yeah,
that's how it should be. So I hope that we have a happy crowd and a healthy crowd on board.
Yeah, and will there be any drinking champagne, sitting on the sofa, watching hours of Netflix, or is it really going to be you come on board the boat, you live by the healthy lifestyle, 100%?
Yeah, 10 times a day workout. No, look, it's a combination. We like good times. Alexandra and I, we also like good wine and champagne. Mm-hmm. It should be in a certain moderation.
Yeah.
Last summer definitely was too much.
Okay, so you do fall victim to these vices sometimes.
Hey, I mean, when you have a party. And you know, the point was, since many friends joined, for them was like, wow, party weekend.
Yeah.
I mean, we are always on the board, so we were from one party weekend to the next one. And this we cannot do when we go now 18 months. Yes, we do have a well-filled wine cellar on board and a wine fridge and everything. But it should be a healthy lifestyle.
You don't want to drag your biological age down.
nah.
Up even.
So a lot of sport, enough sleep, and yes, good meals and maybe in the evening a glass of wine. And unfortunate for you is, so I talked with our researchers and scientists, and there is no reason to drink wine from a health perspective. So not even one glass is good. This is freaking
that
me
is
out.
Sad. I always thought there was something about red wine and dark chocolate that people were kind of clinging on to, but I guess not.
The dark chocolate thing is true. A little bit of dark chocolate helps. Yeah, that is good. That is good. But with the red, I was always saying, yeah, you know, one glass of red wine must be good. Your resveratrol inside.
Yeah.
Nah, not true.
No.
But anyway, I mean, I lead a quite a healthy life, and I think this is the one weakness I allow myself is a good glass of wine from time to time.
That's fair enough. Well, this all sounds fascinating, and I'll come back to where I would have started the interview, which is, what on earth was your upbringing that led you to launching a super yacht about extending your life? You know, what did you do as a child? What did your family do? Were you always interested in kind of new and different and entrepreneurial things, or is this, you know, like you said, you learned about it in 2016 and it's not something you thought about before then?
I did not think about it before, really not. My family was not a seaside family. I mean, we sometimes went to holidays. Once I was, when I was a really small boy, maybe six or seven, I was with my father on board of a two-mast sail ship called Samira, which belonged to a friend of my father. But that's about my only experience on the open sea. And I know we did some water skiing on Lake Zurich, stuff like that.
Yeah. And is this where you grew up then, kind of around Lake
Zurich? I grew
up
in Basel. In Basel.
Basel, okay.
Yeah. So, no, there was no, how shall I say, clear path to becoming a super yacht owner or so. And I think I also wouldn't have just bought the super yacht for the sake of it if I couldn't match it with a project. So the project of Blue Cruise is the reason I bought a super yacht.
Well, this sounds like the most fascinating journey. And I really hope, I know that you're going to have a podcasting studio on board. So I really hope you're going to keep us updated with how it's going and the amazing things you see and discover along the way. I'm particularly interested in what, you know, the different communities seem to be doing, because I bet you'll find out a whole load of stuff that isn't available anywhere. But remind me when you're back on board and when this all kicks off.
Very soon. So 1st of March, we set sails, you can say. 1st of March, we leave Croatia. And then first stop is Sardinia, which is a blue zone. Mm-hmm. So let's hop off board and see what the locals do there. We already agreed to meet some local nutrition scientists as well.
Wow.
And then we head for Gibraltar, the Canaries, Senegal, then we cross the Atlantic and go towards the Caribbean. So a lot of interesting things going to happen.
Yeah. Well, thank you so much for your time. I'm fascinated to hear how this all develops. And if nothing else, I'm sure you'll just have an amazing trip.
Definitely. Thank you very much, Charlotte, and happy to keep you posted.
Thanks for listening to this week's Boat Briefing, which was mixed and produced by Naomi Wilson and is a production of Boat International Media. Don't forget to like and subscribe, and we'll see you next week.